You need to sign these papers, Serena. It's just a formality for the business expansion. Wait, these aren't expansion documents. This is a property transfer deed. Why is Elena Rodriguez's name on our... Just sign them! Stop asking questions! No! What the hell is going on, Miguel? Who is Elena Rodriguez? She's nobody. Just trust me. Trust you? You're asking me to sign away half our company to some woman I've never heard of? You don't understand the pressure I'm under. Then make me understand. Because right now it looks like you're trying to steal everything we've built. My business partner married me just to gain citizenship and transfer all our assets to his overseas lover. Hi, I'm Serena. Today, I'm going to tell you my story. But before I continue, please like, share, and subscribe to hear more stories like this. Let me take you back 5 years. I was running a successful import-export business in Miami, dealing primarily with Latin American markets. That's when Miguel Castellanos walked into my life. He was charming, brilliant with numbers, and had incredible connections in Colombia that could expand my business exponentially. Miguel had been in the States on a work visa that was about to expire. When he proposed after just 8 months of dating, I thought it was romantic. My best friend Jasmine warned me it was too fast, but I was blinded by what I thought was love and our thriving business. My lawyer, David Chen, had suggested a prenup, but Miguel acted so hurt that I dropped it. "Don't you trust me?" he'd asked with those puppy dog eyes. "Everything I do is for us, mi amor." The wedding was small. Miguel's cousin Roberto flew in from Bogota as his best man. I should have paid more attention to their whispered conversations in Spanish. For 2 years, everything seemed perfect. Our business, Castellanos Mitchell Imports, was thriving. We'd opened a second warehouse and were clearing 7 figures annually. Miguel handled the Latin American side while I managed U.S. operations. Then came the red flags. Miguel started taking frequent trips to Colombia, always alone. "Business meetings," he'd say. He'd return with signed contracts, so I didn't question it. Our accountant, Beth Sullivan, tried to warn me about unusual transfers. "Serena, there are significant amounts being wired to a Colombian account every month." "Beth, Miguel handles that side. I'm sure it's fine." I'd cut her off. That evening, Miguel came home with those documents. My world shattered. When I read them instead of blindly trusting him, I found transfer deeds for our properties, change of ownership forms, bank authorizations, all listing Elena Rodriguez as co-owner or beneficiary. "Who is Elena Rodriguez?" I demanded. Miguel's mask finally slipped. "She's someone important to me." "Important how?" He sighed. "Serena, Elena, and I have been together for 7 years. She's in Colombia. Everything I've done has been for her." The room spun. "Our entire marriage is a lie?" "Not a lie. A business arrangement that benefited us both. You got a partner who tripled your business. I got citizenship." "You used me. You made me fall in love with you." He laughed. "Love? This was always about business. I thought you understood that." I threw him out that night. Over the next weeks, I discovered he'd been slowly transferring assets to shell companies connected to Elena. The business trips? Visiting her, setting up their life with my money. Roberto wasn't his cousin. He was Elena's brother. But Miguel had underestimated me. I'd been documenting everything for taxes, every transaction, every contract, every email. My meticulous record keeping would be his downfall. I hired immigration attorney Patricia Gonzalez. "Marriage fraud is a federal crime," she explained. "If we can prove he married you solely for citizenship while maintaining a relationship with Elena, he's looking at deportation and criminal charges." While Patricia built the immigration case, David Chen worked on freezing the accounts Miguel had been draining. We filed emergency injunctions preventing further transfers. The investigation Patricia launched was thorough. Her private investigator in Colombia uncovered a gold mine. Elena wasn't just Miguel's girlfriend. They'd been engaged for 3 years before he came to America. There were photos from their engagement party, joint bank accounts, even a house purchased with money siphoned from our business. The breakthrough came from an unexpected source. Jasmine's new boyfriend, Carlos, recognized Roberto from the Miami social scene. "That guy's been bragging about how his sister's about to become rich once her boyfriend divorces his American wife." Carlos wore a wire and invited Roberto for drinks. Roberto, drunk on premature success, spilled everything. How they'd targeted me specifically because I was single and successful. How Miguel had studied my routines, crafting himself into my perfect partner. Beth, my accountant, had actually been keeping a separate set of books. I know embezzlement when I see it. I documented everything in case you ever needed it. The forensic accounting revealed Miguel had stolen over $800,000, but he'd made one crucial mistake, using business computers to coordinate with Elena, leaving a digital trail. Our IT manager, Kurt, recovered deleted communications. Love letters to Elena promising her the world with the stupid American's money. Plans to divorce me once his citizenship was secure. Jokes about how easy it was to manipulate me. I sat in my lawyer's office, reading these messages, feeling my heart shatter and rebuild into something harder. "We have enough to bury him," Patricia said. "Immigration fraud, wire fraud, embezzlement. He's looking at federal prison before deportation." "Do it," I said without hesitation. The arrest happened at our warehouse. Federal agents swept in during the morning shift. Miguel's face when he saw them was priceless, the cocky confidence draining away. Roberto was arrested the same day at Miami International, trying to flee. But I wasn't done. I contacted every single supplier and client, explaining the situation and offering to continue partnerships directly. Most were happy to cut out the middleman, especially after learning he'd been skimming from them too. Elena flew in from Colombia, believing she could claim the assets. She showed up at my office in designer clothes bought with my money, demanding to speak with me. "You've ruined everything," she screamed. "Miguel and I were meant to be together." "Then you should have built your own fortune instead of trying to steal mine," I replied. "Security will show you out." She tried to claim common law marriage rights, but Patricia shut that down quickly. "Your client can't claim rights to stolen property." The trial was swift. Miguel was convicted on all counts, 5 years federal prison, followed by deportation. The judge ordered full restitution, though we knew he'd hidden money we'd never recover. Roberto got 3 years. Elena lost everything. The house in Colombia was seized. Last I heard, she was working as a waitress in Bogota. The sweetest revenge came from Miguel's real cousin, Ana, who reached out after the trial. Miguel had borrowed money from their entire family to come to America, promising to pay them back. He'd never sent a dime. "Our grandmother died believing Miguel would help pay for her medicine," Ana told me. I hired Ana as our new Latin American liaison. Within a year, she'd not only replaced Miguel's network, but expanded it. Miguel wrote me from prison once, a long letter about how I'd destroyed his life, how Elena had left him for another man, how his family had disowned him. He even asked for forgiveness, saying he'd really grown to care for me. I had my lawyer send a cease and desist letter. The business is now worth 3 times what it was. I've hired 5 more employees, all women who've been underestimated by men who thought they were easy marks. Beth is now my CFO. Patricia sits on my board of directors. Jasmine runs our new European division. I kept the Castellanos name in the business Castellanos Mitchell International, not out of sentiment, but as a reminder. A reminder to trust but verify, to listen to my instincts, to never let anyone make me feel foolish for protecting what I've built. Sometimes I think about that night. What if I'd been tired? What if I'd trusted him one more time? I would have lost everything to a man who saw me as nothing but a green card and a bank account. Miguel will be deported in 2 years. Elena married some other fool, probably running the same scam. Roberto's already back in Colombia, reputation destroyed. And me? I'm still here, still building, still growing. Yesterday, a young entrepreneur came to me for advice. She reminded me of myself 5 years ago, brilliant but trusting. As I looked at her eager face, I wondered how many Miguels were out there circling successful women like sharks. I told her my story, watched her eyes widen with each revelation. When I finished, she asked me something that stuck with me. "How do you trust anyone after that?" I thought about it. About Ana, who proved family isn't always blood. About Beth, who protected me even when I didn't know I needed it. About Patricia and David, who fought like lions for justice, even about Carlos, who stood up for what was right. "You don't stop trusting," I told her. "You just trust smarter." As she walked out of my office that day, Her question haunted me. How do you ever trust again? I wonder, would you have spotted the signs before it was too late?